I would certainly be content to sit there and just hear preaching all week. That's what we all need. I appreciate that message, Brother James. That's good light. Good light. You know, the Bible is a very interesting book that God gave us. He could have given it to us in a variety of ways. He could have just written us a list of precepts. Or He could just have given us a book about His Son and detailed every page of His life. You know, we have very little details about all the pages of His life. Or He could have wrote a book about just Himself and eternity. But, you know, the Bible is a book about... It's, I know different avenues it takes, but basically, when you look at the Bible, it's a book about people's lives. It's a story from one to the next about this person and that person and what God did and how He showed up and how the interaction was there. And I guess so we would keep looking at those stories and look at ourselves and maybe get some light on the subject to see where we need to be looking, which Brother Knox certainly presented that to us. We need to be looking to the Lord. And, you know, Vance Havner said one time, he was talking about how blind the world is and how blind people are. We are definitely living in a blind society. And you say, well, we need to shine more light. You know, we just need to put more light on things. But Vance Havner, he said a profound thing. He said, you know, we really don't need any more light. He said, we need more sight. He said, we've got all the light we need. We've got Bibles everywhere. We've got the truth that's been preached around the world. He said, what we need is not more light, but more sight. Somebody, he said, all the light in the world won't help a blind man. That's profound. Doesn't matter how bright it is, doesn't matter how clear it is, but if there's no sight, there's no capable, if it's just a blind heart and a blind mind, then the greatest, deepest, most wonderful truths not going to make any difference in the world. And that's why the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in them. But you know, it's not just lost people that are blind. The Bible at least gives two indications where people that name the name of Christ also are blind. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he talks about he's blind. He's talking about you and I, when we don't add to our faith, we're blind. And there's just things we do not see. He said the same in John. It's an epistle when he talks about the fact if we hate our brother, we walk in darkness, we're blind. And how great it would be that blindness. I want to look at a story of a man tonight in Numbers chapter 22 who needed some sight, and really his life had been characteristic by seeing things nobody else really ever got to see. This man must have, God must want us to learn something from this man's life, because seven different biblical writers tell us about him. His story is not very long. But there are at least four Old Testament writers and three New Testament writers that talk about this man. Not just Moses, but Joshua writes about him. The Spirit of God uses Nehemiah to write about him. Also Micah the prophet. Peter speaks of him. Jude speaks of him. John, in his epistle, speaks of him as well. And yet, he seemed like an obscure character. Why would God lift this character out of the Old Testament in seemingly sort of an obscure story and use him as such an example to us in our lives? Of course, that man's name is Balaam. And I guess I'm preaching this message tonight because about a week ago, I preached in a Christian school. And I had such a good time preaching this message to a bunch of kids. I thought surely the adults could handle it. So I thought, man, we just had a good time about Balaam. It's probably one of the funniest stories in the Bible. I mean, it's just hilarious. And God knows I need all the help I can get when I preach. Amen. I need some humor in there. Amen. Somebody needs to laugh somewhere before we get through. It's a great story of Balaam. And the Bible says in Numbers chapter 22, where do I want to pick up? I want to pick up verse 21. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. There's another guy that didn't please God. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself under the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn, either the right hand or the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass. And she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times?" I mean, you know, Disney's old news. I mean, really. And that stuff's not even true. What a thing. Does God just sit up in heaven and say, "What can I do now?" I mean, okay. Talk to him. Verse 29, "And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee." Kill him. Shoot, put him in a circus. I mean, make some money off of him. Kill him. You are crazy. And that's where we're going to get to, by the way. The Bible said that the Lord, that Balaam was rebuked by the ass with man's voice, but it says his madness was rebuked. He's crazy. There's a lot of crazy people in the world. And some of them shouldn't be. Thirty. "And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass? Upon which," you tell me the Bible's boring? "Am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee?" And he said, "Nay." Just reading the Bible. It's great. Now, I want you to look at verse 31, seriously. "Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam." You see, he's blind. He can't see. "And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me." The ass saw me, but you couldn't see me. "The ass saw me and turned from me these three times, unless she had..." This is amazing. "Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive." And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it what? Displease thee, I will get me back again. Father, please help us tonight again through your word. And God, we could just read it and think about it and pray about it and go home. But Lord, we're all writing a story. And Lord, many of them don't turn out very well. And we pray that you would give us sight tonight, Lord. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I would say this, that if you can't see as good as an ass, you've got a problem. To be honest with you, this ass is, it can see better than Balaam. This ass had more sight. It had more sense. That's bad. When you're dumber than a donkey, that's pretty bad. He had more sight. He had more sense. He had more sensitivity. I mean, you know what? If I was that ass, I would have just said, all right, you keep beating me. We're just going to both die at the same time. But God said, I'd have killed you and left the ass alive. God had more respect for the animal than he did Balaam. And the thing about this ass, the ass evidently was trying to save Balaam. The ass had a bigger heart than Balaam did. Can I say it that way? About somebody that's beating him. Had more sight, had more sense, had more sensitivity, and frankly, had more spirituality. It's bad when you're not as spiritual as an animal. Now, if that wasn't in the Bible, I wouldn't believe it. I'd thought, well, you know, that's some made-up story. I want to be able to see more than an animal. I didn't write this in the Bible. It's in the Bible. I want to have more sensitivity, more sense, more spirituality. I want to be able to see what God wants me to see. And really, he should have already been in that number that knew what was going on. Anyway, look at all these things about Balaam that are positive. Look at Numbers chapter 22, verse 8. And he said unto them, lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. He said, hey, whatever God tells me, and that's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. So that's not a generic word for God. He knows who Jehovah is. He knows the God of the Bible, because he's using his name throughout this text. Verse 9, look at it. And God came unto Balaam and said, God has been speaking to Balaam. Now, you search the New Testament. You know, it's such a blessing that we have to have a copy of the Word of God and have God to speak to us. But in the Old Testament, when God came to you and spoke to you personally, that's a big deal. You have a benefit above so many other human beings on the face of the earth. God somehow has a personal relationship in some way with Balaam that he doesn't have with other people. He talks to him. And whoever Balaam blesses is blessed. And whoever Balaam curses is cursed. Balaam has a knack for seeing things that nobody else can see. But the one thing he really needed to see about his own life and for his own way, he was blind. He could see for other people. Look at chapter 22, verse 13. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. Well, that sounds spiritual. God won't let me go, so I won't go. You know, it'd be great if we could raise a generation of people that said, hey, if God doesn't want that for me, I don't want that for me. That's Balaam's testimony. Pretty good testimony. Look at verse 18. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord, my God. You see that? My God. Balaam declares with his mouth that the Lord God is his God.
And he can't do more or less than what His Word said. I tell you what a great testimony. I wish and pray the Lord that everybody that named the name of Christ would say, I can't do more than what He said, and I can't do less than what He said. That means the relationship that Balaam has with the Word of God is pretty straight. You'd think that would be the end of all things. Well, I believe King James Bible is the Word of God, and this is my faith, doctrine, and practice. Yep, and you can be blind as a bat going in backwards. And God can be your God, and you can still be blind about your way. And you can have a good testimony. Look at verse 38. And Balaam said unto Balak, Lo, I am come to thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? He admits that it's not like he's lifting himself up. He said, I don't have any power. The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. Balaam has had a relationship with God that God is speaking through his mouth. But he sure wasn't more spiritual than an ass. Chapter 24, verse 13. He says again, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind. But what the Lord saith, that will I speak. Pretty good talk. One more thing about Balaam. Look at verse 24, chapter 24, verse 2. You say, well, that's just all things he said. Well, not exactly if you saw all the verses that I read, but look at chapter 24, verse 2. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came upon him. This is a man that has a relationship with God, a relationship with the Spirit of God, that can see things that no one else can see, that speaks the Word of God through his mouth. And some way or another, he got so blind that he could not see God. And he just about lost his life. Why could he not see? Would you go to 2 Peter chapter 2? Well, it's the same reason I can't see correctly. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15. I'm telling you tonight that as holy and godly as we want to be, and as a big a Bible as we have, and as much as God has taught to us, and as much as the Spirit of God has filled our lives, and as much as we've seen truth even for the lives of other people, how many people are on a journey and they're just as blind as they can be? And they better get some sight. 2 Peter chapter 2, what caused this blindness? I think here's one place we can look. Verse 15, the Bible says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray. You know anybody that's going astray? Which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. So God calls him a prophet. And the Bible says that he lists this little phrase here, and of course you that study your Bible, you know there are three phrases in the New Testament about Balaam. Here's the first one. He calls it the way of Balaam. And the way of Balaam definitely was not the right way. He forsook the right way and he went astray. His way was not God's way. We heard a verse like that tonight already. His thoughts were definitely not God's thoughts. And the interesting thing is, down in this chapter, the Bible said, verse 21, for it had been better for them not to have known. There's another way. The way of righteousness. You know, I'm convinced that Balaam knew God and he knew the way of God, but somewhere in Balaam's heart, the way of Balaam's heart and the way of God was not on the same path.
He wanted to go a different way than God wanted him to go. I'm not going to read the whole story. You've been in church a long time, I'm sure, and you've read the story and you know it. But I mean, over and over again, Balaam is continually trying to go a different way than God tries to get him to go. He's determined to go with these people, though God told him not to go. And he thinks in his own desires that he's living his life after, he thinks that listen. Balaam thought, if I just persevere enough, surely somewhere down the road, God's going to agree with me. Somewhere I can finally get God to agree with me the way I want to go. And I'll do it not once, and I'll do it not twice, and I'll do it not three times. I'll do it four times, because surely somewhere down the road, God will look at me and He'll let me have what I want in my life. And the Bible says people turn away from the right way, they forsake the right way, and they go astray because they go in the way of Balaam. And just to be very simplistic with you, the way of Balaam is just the way he wants to go. And he talks like, fill up the house full of gold. I can't go unless God lets me go. Yeah, but you sure want to. Why was Balaam blind? He was blinded by his own desires of what he wanted. What he really wanted blinded him. And when we're so consumed with what we want and the path we want to take and the way we want it all to work out, we have a spiritual blindness that we can't see what God wants us to see, and we can't see Jesus Christ. The one that we're just all mixed up because we're all about pleasing ourselves, you see. We're all about wanting to go my way instead of going God's direction. And maybe, just maybe, somewhere down the road, God will get with my program. And the Bible says in chapter 22 of Numbers, verse 32, about Balaam's way, the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. That's where we get the word pervert. You know what a pervert is? Somebody that wants to go a different way than God wants them to go. Look up the word perverse in the dictionary. It just means to turn aside from the truth. And when I desire, you know, God is not, I was preaching yesterday, we're in the next verse in 1 Peter, and the Bible says, dearly beloved, God says that a lot. He sets you up for it, you know. But, I mean, study it out. I mean, look at it. There's a big warning after a lot of those dearly beloveds. I really, really love you. And so because I love you, you need to listen to this. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust. He didn't even say abstain from fleshly sins. He said, abstain from fleshly lust. What we get in trouble with is not just doing wrong, it's desiring wrong. And Balaam looks like this great prophet, and Balaam looks like everything, and he has a relationship with the Spirit of God, and he can see what nobody else can see. And God talks to him, and he talks to God, and he should know better. But there's a problem with Balaam, because inside he wants something different. You can be in church and want something different. You can carry a Bible and want a different life in a different way. You can have different desires. And I'm just telling you, when we get those kind of desires and we're desiring what we want instead of what God wants, we get blinded. We can't see God. And the animals have more sense. I told the church yesterday, I've been there. What is it, Brother Jerry and Miss Therese here from Ardmore? And I almost didn't say it, but I said it anyway. And I was trying to make the point of this point. What you want is really immaterial to life. Our desires is what ruins our path. You know what I said to him yesterday? And praise the Lord, I'm so happy in the will of God. But I told him, I said, you know what? It had nothing to do. I really didn't want to come to Alabama. And they looked about like you just looked when I just said that. But I didn't look at God and say, I want to go to Greece or I want to go. It doesn't matter what I want. It's what God wants for me. And the happiest place in life is not trying to search out for what you want, but search out for what God wants for you. And that's where there's peace. And that's where there's joy. And that's when there's satisfaction. And that's where there's calmness and thanksgiving in your heart. And we are in a mad world. We are in a crazy world. And everybody is chasing whatever they want and even putting the mark of Christianity on it. But somewhere down the line, we've got to say, it does not matter what I want. Bob Jones Sr. said this. He said, if something is convenient and attractive to me, I'm always afraid of it. That's what he said. You know what that old man knew about himself? He knew that his flesh wanted to go a different way than God wanted to go. And we get blind when we're all consumed with what I want. Who cares what you want? It's what God wants. Well, I don't want it to be this way. Well, then you're going to be blind. And you're not going to have any more sense than an animal. His blindness was because he was going his way. And his God said his way was perverse. And you know what Proverbs 14:2 says? The Bible says in Proverbs 14:2, when your way is perverse, this is what it says about it. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. Listen now. But he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. When we get perverse in our ways, you know what we start doing? We get mad at God. We despise God. Because why? He won't let me have the way I want. He won't let me have the life I want. I guarantee you, you're the best people in this state, I'm sure, besides the people at Brother James' church. But I guarantee you, there's somebody in here that's upset at God. And probably, and all of that's traced back to, I started despising God because God wouldn't give me what I wanted. He wouldn't let me go the way that I wanted to go. You know what that's called? That's called madness. You can tell how crazy Balaam is when you're talking to an ass. You know, I think one of the biggest wonders of Numbers 22 is not the ass talking, but it's God talking back to it. You got to be. Now, come on, if you're in your right mind and an ass starts talking to you, what would you do? I'd say, whoa! Is that not a natural reaction? What? And I'm not going to have a conversation back and forth. The guy's lost his mind. And look, when we think that our desires are more important than God, what God has for us, we've lost our stinking mind. And we will argue with a fence post about it. We'll argue with a preacher. We'll argue with the parents. We'll argue with every godly Christian that he puts in our lives. We'll argue with the animals. Because I've lost my mind. Boy, this ass was his best friend. You know, look up there. It says, verse 23. What am I supposed to quit, preacher? I cut it off like baloney, man. 23, and the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. Now, the ass that could see could see God, could see God's way. The Bible says, and his sword drawn in his hand, and the ass turned aside out of the way. You know, if you've got a lick of sense, and this ass does, when you're going the wrong way and God stands against you, you know what would be a good idea? To go a different way. And Balaam's up there, come on, boy, let's go. Going to charge right into destruction. And the ass has got more, no, let's go a different way. You would just think in our ruined society and ruined lives that people would stop and say, you know, I think I need to go a different way. But when you're blind, you just... And then they ass, the Bible says, turned aside, went in the field. Balaam smote the ass, turned her in the way. Well, it ain't God's. It's his, you see. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself under the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. He smote her again. Well, I can't go anywhere. Well, I'll just run in the wall. You know, it's better to run in the wall than run into God. It is better. You know, there's a lot of things we're afraid of. I tell you what, the best thing that happened to Balaam was his foot got crushed. It would have been real good if he got some spirituality right there. What needs to happen, son? What else needs to be crushed to let you know that the way you want to go is not the way God wants you to go? Bible says, verse 26, the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place. See, that's what happens. God just starts. Stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn, either the right hand or the left. Boy, I like it. You know what the ass does? When it sees it can't go anywhere, it just falls down. God, help us to be like Balaam's ass. Yeah. May I have the sense when I'm going the wrong way to turn aside. God, give me the sense that if something's being crushed, it's better than that, then I go my own way. And Lord, if I get to the place, there's nowhere else to go. Help me just to fall down. That's pretty spiritual. That's a lot of sense. That's a lot of sight. But Balaam's blinded because he wants his way. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. He's a hireling. He's running greedily for a reward. Go to Jude, verse 11. Why is Balaam so blind? Well, he's blinded by his own desires. Jude verse 11, the Bible says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. Balaam had an error about him. He had a way about him, but he had an error. He made a mistake in his calculations. I won't read the story. You know it. He looks at Israel. He keeps looking at Israel. And surely God's going to curse these people. And the higher he gets and the more he sees about Israel. I mean, Israel, man, they're a rough bunch. I mean, you know, I mean, God really got where he wanted to kill them a whole lot of times without Balaam praying for that to be done. And if you read the Bible, the Bible really shows us that Balaam is really wanting God to curse him, because I think it's in Joshua that it says that God says that I hearken not unto Balaam. So Balaam's wanting God to curse him. And his error was this. Man, look at these people. Look, my goodness, they're so backslid. Surely God will curse these people. I mean, they murmur and complain all the time. They're fleshly. They want flesh to eat. They're never satisfied with what God gives them. I mean, God's had to kill all the adults but two. Man, these people have problems. Curse them, God.
No. You know, I think Balaam is blinded by his own pride and prejudice, because this is what I see about Balaam. Look back at Numbers 22. Balaam can see all about their imperfections. But for some reason, he can't see his own. And the Bible says down there in verse that we started off reading, where is it? Verse 22. And God's anger was kindled. God got mad at Balaam. You know what Balaam found out? God wasn't mad at Israel. He said, he hath not beheld... He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. That's what God told Balaam to say. And Balaam, I'm sure, scratches it. You can't see iniquity in them? Are you kidding? That's his error. He thought they had iniquity in them, but he didn't think he had iniquity himself. But God said he didn't see perverseness in Israel. But what did he say about Balaam? Your way is what? Balaam's convinced they're perverse, but he doesn't understand that he is. And I'm telling you, there's nothing that will blind all of us like thinking, you're perverse, but there's nothing wrong with me. And the truth is, God does bless imperfect people. But He does it based upon His own righteousness. You know what Micah the prophet said about the story of Balaam? It just sticks out there, hangs out there. In Micah chapter 6, verse 5, listen to what the prophet said. Micah 6, 5. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Lord. He said, this story is so you'll know the righteousness of the Lord. Well, there wasn't any righteousness in Balaam, but there was righteousness in the children of Israel. Why? Because God said there was. And when God says somebody's righteous, they're righteous, and it doesn't really matter what you say. Balaam can't see that. And God's mad at him. You know, God still gets mad. That Bible says the wrath of God is on the children of disobedience over there in Ephesians chapter 5. And you know what the next verse says? It's verse 7. It says, therefore, be ye not partakers with them. Don't be partakers. In other words, when God gets mad, get out of the way. Just get out of the way. He was blinded by his own pride and prejudice. His heart wasn't right, though outwardly he looked good. And he's talked a good talk, but in his heart he wanted something else God didn't want. And God, listen, God killed him. It's not in Numbers 22, but it's later on. God killed him. And if I read Hebrews chapter 12, God still has to do that sometimes with His children. I mean, that's part of the Bible. Is that part of the Bible? But you know what? You know what's worse than God killing you? God letting you live. God letting you live with it. Balaam's blind because of his own desires. He's blind because of his own pride and prejudice. And the last thing I was... Look at Revelation chapter 12, or chapter 2, verse 14. I'm finished. I just want to know what blinded him, because that's not the way I want my story to run. And you know what that book says? The blind leading the what? Where are they going to fall? We can't afford to be blind. I mean, if we can't see, who's going to see? If we don't know where to go, who's going to know where to go? Revelation chapter 2, the Bible says, verse 14, but I have a few things against thee. This is to the church of Pergamos. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a... What's that word? a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. Now, this is what Balaam did. I'm trying to close. The Bible says through the counsel of Balaam, Numbers 31:16 says, through the counsel of Balaam, they were taught to commit trespass against the Lord. Balaam taught, though he could not curse them, he taught Balak how to get them to stumble and how to get God angry with them. He taught Balak, if you'll just get them involved in fornication, if you can get them involved in worshiping your idols, if you can mix with them, if you can just, listen, if you can just mix, I can't curse these people. They're blessed, and they're going to be blessed. God has declared them to be righteous, and there's nothing I can do about it. But I tell you one thing, if you'll mix in with them and get them to live like you live and get them to worship in the same idols that you worship and get them to fornicate and get them to mix with your heathen kids, God will get so mad at them. He'll slay them hand and foot, and you won't have to kill them because God will do it for you. You know what blinded Balaam? He didn't care about anybody. Who would want to teach somebody how to cause a people to be destroyed? Who would want to teach somebody the wrong way so their kids and the next generation would be so far away from God that God would have to bring His wrath upon them? Balaam did not care about the children of Israel. He did not care about their welfare. He put a stumbling block in front of him because all he cared about was his own way. And the cruelty of his own heart blinded his eyes. You can see that in what he's doing with his animal. What's he doing with his animal? Beating the animal. Right? You know what I've noticed? I know some people get out of the will of God and get out of the way of God and they can't see and they have no spirituality. They get real cruel to everything around them. And they just start lashing out. And they don't care who they hurt. And they don't care if they're a stumbling block. God being my witness, if I'm going to be a stumbling block before I leave this world, Brother Joe, I'd rather go home. I'd rather go home. I don't want somebody to trip over my life and go to hell. And I don't want somebody to trip over my life and come into the judgment and wrath of God. And the next time you think about sinning with somebody, just understand, you don't care about them. You care about your own way. And when we sin with other people, we don't have any care about them at all. Or we wouldn't do that with them. We wouldn't incur the judgment of God upon their life. If we know whoremongers God will judge, and we really love that person, why would we bring the wrath and judgment of God upon them for doing that? If I knew I lived such a life that you would follow me in a wrong path, why would I do that if I care about you, if I love you? Balaam didn't care about nobody. And it blinded his eyes. He couldn't see. He had no heart for anybody. He was a stumbling block. You know how that's contrasted with the New Testament? What did Paul say? What did he say in Romans 14? What did he say in his Corinthian epistle there? 1 Corinthians 8. He said, I don't want to be a stumbling block. Listen. And I am so concerned about helping people to the Lord instead of being a hindrance in their life that I'll quit eating meat. Now, guys, I like to eat meat. I don't even know if I love you enough to quit eating steak. Or shrimp, or lobster, or pork chops. Now listen, Paul said, I'll eat no meat while the world stands. And he had to be telling the truth or the Holy Ghost wouldn't let him write it. You know what? A lot of times in our lives, we have such a cold heart toward other people. We would never make one little sacrifice if it's my right to do it. It blinds us spiritually. Jesus, the light of the world, all He thought about was you. All He thought about was me. He didn't think about Himself. He was after your benefit.
Hey, church member, why isn't our heart, how can I help bring others closer to Christ, point them more to the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I being a stumbling block? I'm telling you what, most Christians get in the wrong way and ruin their lives stumbling over another Christian. And I don't want to be that way. And seven riders said, you better think about Balaam. You need some sight. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, You know all of our hearts. You know what we need. We need You, Jesus. And Lord, we're all guilty of wanting our own way. And we're just sorry about that. Help us to lose ourselves in the Son of God. Forgive us of being so cruel, Lord, that we don't care how our decisions affect anybody. Forgive us, God. And wash us in Your precious blood tonight. And create us in us a clean heart, O God. And anoint our eyes with eye salve that we could see what's important, so that we could see the Lord. So we could help somebody on their way to God. So we wouldn't be so deceived by our own pride. Help us, we pray tonight, Father. We'll thank You.